Hello, hello, and welcome to the Valvit Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media.
Hello, world.
And,
Hello, four cities. That's an interesting update. Can you...
Yeah, we're all over the place. We are the number one Canadian syndicated geobody talk show.
Are we? Seriously?
Well, like, we're also the only one that I'm aware of, so...
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So here's the context. Recently, Luke was going through the download, not archives, what are they called?
Yeah, the download
logs.
Logs
for our website. And he found that there was multiple radio stations downloading our entire archives. We don't know if they're broadcasting
them.
So we don't know if they're broadcasting us or if they're just sampling us or what's going on, but it was definitely like, because I saw the logs, it was the official website of various stations. Did you look them up where they were?
I didn't get around to it, but I will maybe get around to it. But anyway, this is exciting because it means that people are listening to us not only right here, right now, live in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. We go live every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. In Ottawa out of CKCU 93.1 FM.
But people, hosted at Carleton University.
Absolutely.
But it's not a university station. It's a community station.
No, it's
on
a campus.
Campus
station.
I thought it was a community station that just happened to be on a campus.
No, it's a campus licensed station.
Oh, my God.
But there's community programming.
Yay!
Anyway, all of that aside, thank you so much to our incredible listeners. You can now hear us on iTunes, which is pretty exciting.
So we don't have to just thank Alex all the time from now on.
Our one listener.
Yeah.
And he's the one that kept complaining to us about not being on iTunes. And I had some time. Well, I didn't have some time, but I was like, it was at like 2 a.m. and I was in a hotel in Orillia, of all places. Because when you're stuck in a hotel in Orillia, what else are you going
to
do?
But except listen to your own voice.
Yeah. And figure out how does one RSS? How does one RSS? And I didn't know, but there was
this
website.
Do you remember what RSS stands for?
No.
Real Simple Syndication.
Well, it's not really bloody simple, so I can tell you that much. It's really bloody complicated syndication is what it is.
Oh, your Welsh is coming, by the way.
Anyway, I was stuck in Aurelia looking at how I am not able to RSS, and I've just found a website that would, like, do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I am willing to pay people to do this for me because mm-hmm. I can't and... I don't have time, so...
We could have gotten one of the geeks at Geek Out to do it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, we might still. But, Anyways, very exciting times for the Velvet Studio. Also, we're hoping to be at Ottawa's Pride, your Capital Pride, in August. So mm-hmm. lots going on.
I was...
Sorry about that.
Doing a little bit of gas over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I myself feel, I believe the medical term is dookie balls. I feel like dookie balls on account of allergies.
Oh, dear.
And new medication that is making the allergies worse. And
oh,
so,
wait, wasn't your medication making you also, like, ridiculously nauseous?
Yeah, no, it's changed. Yeah, no, now it's making me gassy. So, yeah, good times.
Which end, though?
Unconfirmed.
Oh, dear. I'm just going to pull up some interviews. So whilst you do that, do you want to tell the folks about what we're talking about here today? Or do you want me to tell them?
So today we're talking about Bill C-16, which was it was a bill, and then it was dead in the water, and then it was a bill, and then it was dead in the water, and then it was a bill. And then there's a weird thing that a senator was saying, and then now it's a bill again. And basically, it's the trans rights bill, and I believe that it's meant to add trans spectrum identities to the... do you want me to actually just read it off the page?
Well, no, I mean, like, that's...
I'm trying to summarize it for the audience.
Yeah, but you were flicking through, and I was just pointing out
You see, this is life with the two of us. Anyway, it's supposed to be adding trans spectrum rights to the Bill of Human Rights. So that, not the Bill of Human Rights, the Human Rights Act of Canada, so that they are, trans-identified people are protected under all the usual human rights stuff, which will take care of most trans issues, not all of them, accessibility to medical aid, identity issues. There's also, what's it called? The psychotherapy, when like corrective psychotherapy, which is very controversial. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it takes care of most problems, leaving a few ones behind. But I mean, like gay marriage did not get rid of all lesbian, gay, bisexual problems back in the mid-2000s. There are still a few pockets here and there that we're finding that marriage did not fix. And if you're thinking, what did marriage fix other than just marriage? There's all sorts of things about adoption and hospital visitation rights and inheritance rights and things like that that just fall into place with marriage. And so this is kind of the equivalent. By putting trans rights issues into the Human Rights Code, Human Rights Act, a lot of things fall into place all at once. So instead of making a million tiny little laws, we can just do this, and it takes care of a lot of things. There will still be a lot of things left over, such as access to certain medical procedures and hormone treatments, things like that. Mm. But, you know, one battle at a time, right? And this is a huge one. This is like taking back the beaches in Normandy kind of thing. Like, once you got your foothold on this, the rest of it's just, you know, a leisurely walk through the French countryside.
Everybody loves a little leisurely walk through the French countryside. Now, you're absolutely right. What this bill does, and it's a very, very brief bill. It is all of, like, 2 pages. And that's because it's in 2 languages.
Oh, this is the whole bill?
Yeah, that is it.
Oh, wow. I thought that this was just a summary.
No. That is the whole bill. So, I nearly said hashtag C16.
Why am I reading this when you circled this word at the top of the page?
Yeah. So, we got it's publicly available online, but I was handed a press kit, and the document has secret written on it. So I was like, ooh, secret.
Confidence of the Queen's Privy Council. So,
oh, wow. So, yeah, really secret.
But if it's publicly accessible now, this is just a dated warning. No, it says, wait, January, March, April, May 13 is when it was labeled secret. So that's...
Well, it's public now, so...
It's public now. Not breaking any laws. Hooray!
Absolutely. Do you know, we had the Prime Minister was speaking recently about trans rights. I'm just trying to find... The Justice Canada uses Periscope? What?
What?
That's crazy.
What are you talking about? No. Periscope? What?
Yeah, Justice Canada uses Periscope. Anyway, sorry about that. Slightly distracted.
What? I feel like I'm missing context. Is that like a software program or something?
No, it's like an app. Anyway, this is the Justice Minister speaking about the bill. Well, no.
That's a great audio clip.
Yeah, this is... Okay, here we go. You know, this is the CBC.
This is the second dead air moment today.
Ah, well.
I am proud to say that moments ago, I introduced legislation, Bill C-16, an act to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act and Criminal Code that would ensure that Canadians will be free to identify themselves and to express their gender as they wish, while being protected against discrimination and hate. Because as Canadians, we should feel free and safe to be ourselves. No one should be refused a job, disadvantaged in the workplace, be unable to access services, or be the target of harassment and violence because of their gender identity or gender expression. Once passed, this legislation would update the Canada Human Rights Act to protect persons from being discriminated against because of their gender identity or their gender expression. We also intend to update the criminal code so that those who are targeted because of their gender identity or gender expression are protected against hate propaganda and hate crimes.
So, yeah, that's some words from the Justice Minister or the Attorney General. I don't know which one you're supposed to refer to them as. Is it... Do you know which one? Is it Justice Minister or Attorney... Oh, both. I mean, technically, the individual is both.
My microphone's not on.
Yes, you lie. You speak lies. Anyway, this, they had a 10-year-old Charlie. Charlie, actually, you may recognize her from an article we did. On the Occuparty protest. Do you remember the Occuparty protest?
That was November? December? I think? It was late last year.
Yeah, I forget. We'll find it in a second. But,
But the point being, yes, I vaguely recall, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Occupy Party protest was where we have last seen...
I forgot how cute Owen Jones is.
I know, Owen Jones is very cute. But I feel like we digressed a little here. But yes, this is Charlie giving some words as well about this bill. You know what? I'm just having the worst time getting this all ready to go. Okay, here we go.
To say a few words, so I'm going to allow her to do so, as well as Mr. Garrison.
Well, I'd like to say some thanks to the Liberal, the new Liberal government, like Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and Ms. Wilson-Raybould, the Minister of Justice, for helping us get this bill through, and Senator Mitchell, Senator Jaffer, and other senators, and Randall Garrison for supporting me since the first year. We, our family and our community, even have been trying to get this bill through, and I have brought a gift. I have brought 13 gifts of Kinnickinnick to represent each and every one of the provinces for Miss Wilson-Raybould, and we hope that she could pass it on to each and every one of the provinces and territories to say how this will provide hope in our future and it will improve our future so that we can live a more accepting, a more joyful life in the future.
I mean, it really was a phenomenal event. I was at the Hill with trans folks. I spoke to people from Saskatchewan, Alberta, Toronto, local activists here from the Ottawa area.
You really should have just stopped when you interview people from Toronto, because that's everyone.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it is the center of the universe, so I mean, I should have just,
Actually, Winnipeg is. That's the irony. It's the actual, the closest major city to the center of Canada is Winnipeg, and it's not that far off either. If you were to actually, do the geometry and stuff like that, it's a 20-minute drive or something. I don't know.
Center of the country?
Yeah. Yeah.
But where's the center of the universe if it's not Toronto?
New York, I guess? Or London, depending on who you speak to.
Oh, this is very accurate. Well, yes, so the Department of Justice put this bill out through the minister, the Justice Minister, and it's around protection against discrimination, hate propaganda, and hate crime on the grounds of gender identity and gender expression. So what does this bill mean for folks? You stole the document I was reading from.
This is not a document. This is a PowerPoint presentation that you printed off.
I didn't print it.
Well, then it is that one printed off and handed to you.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. So they are...
But I do like that how, once again, it's... The courts. I mean, I know the Justice Department is not the courts.
Yeah.
But it's the courts.
Yeah.
That once again, it's basically, so-called activist judges fixing everything. Doing everything that, our elected officials should be doing. I believe in meritocracies, but even more than that, I believe in technocracies.
I thought you were going to say a thing called love. I really thought you were going to say...
I believe in a thing called love?
Yeah, yeah. That's a no for that one?
Well, technically, I researched the topic, so I've got to at least have a skeptical acceptance of the concept.
Okay. So, anyway, it's funny you say that, because in 1992, I think it was, the Supreme Court struck down, or rather read in, oh my God, my nose is itchy, sexual orientation into... Sorry about that. They read in sexual orientation into the Human Rights Act.
Okay.
And that was in 92. It wasn't until 96 that Bill C-33, the act to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act, included sexual orientation into it. And it was back in 1996 that trans rights was in the original iteration of this bill. So we're talking almost 20 years to the day. So if this bill gets passed around June,
yeah,
trans rights would be 20 years behind gay rights in Canada. How ridiculous is that?
Still years ahead of most other places, though.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's in the grand scheme of relative progress, we're doing quite well, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's other countries that have, they don't necessarily have human rights protections, but they do have degrees of human rights protections. I think it's either Malaysia or Indonesia. One of them's great and the other one's horrible, and I can never remember which one's which. That sounds about right, doesn't it?
One of them's great. Wait, Malaysia and what was the other one?
Indonesia.
Oh, I can't remember which one's which. We've talked about both of them.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's sort of, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What's this? So, we're going to music. Okay.
Absolutely. This is, I was looking for trans musicians, and a surprising amount of them are Canadian, which is fantastic. It means that, I mean, disproportionately Canadian, which I think shows an encouraging music scene.
That and Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trans-identified Middle Eastern musicians.
So this is Savannah from The Clicks on their album Black Tie Elevator, and we'll be back more with some discussion and interviews on the new C-16 bill.
Stone Cold, don't you know you are my heartache? And I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming out for more when I'm halfway out the door someday. Give me 10 to count for, 'cause I know you wanna hear me say. Just take off your clothes and touch the lips that you'll be kissing.
with the Trans Equality Society of Alberta. Now, you've come a very long way for this event. When did you find out that this was happening today?
Friday afternoon.
Oh, my gosh. That is phenomenal. So was it a challenge getting over that quickly?
It was a challenge not only to get here, but also to actually reach the individual coordinating it, because, of course, the work day was almost over in Ottawa.
Which is definitely a barrier. Now, unfortunately, you were in the same group as I was, and we actually missed the presentation of the bill before we were shuffled out to a press meeting. Are you disappointed by that, or are you glad that at least you were there for the press conference? Or?
As a person who lives with some pretty serious disabilities, I don't actually have an income thanks to being fired for being trans. The fact that I was explicitly invited by name to come here struck as, well, okay, even though this will be very difficult for time and physically and the finance, all of those many things that go together. But it's like, well, it's not every day that the Federal Justice Minister invites you to something. So, okay, I will move heaven and earth, and I did, and I'm here. One would then expect that you would actually be able to see what you were there for, and that just the basics of why we're here would have been here. So unfortunately, I cannot say that I have been pleased about any of that side of things. It is nice in the sense that it was good to be able to be here for a historic day. Certainly, that's a very good thing. But unfortunately, participatory aspects of this were not very good, including just no one ever asked about our ability or mobility. So we were ushered up and down stairs and things all over in back hallways, which actually was very, very physically difficult. And at no time was there any indication that there were more accessible ways of doing things. So that's kind of an aside, background thing. It's bizarre, very bizarre.
And it's important that we address that. Now, in the technical briefing, they mentioned that this would add gender identity, gender expression to the human rights code, the criminal code, in terms of the hate crimes legislation. But what was interesting is that they mentioned that the hate crimes legislation is then enforced at the provincial level by the Attorney Generals. Do you feel that the Attorney General of Alberta would actually enforce any hate crimes related to this?
One would hope so. Our minister, the Honourable Minister Kathleen Ganley, is our Minister of Justice and Attorney General for Alberta. She was responsible for spearheading gender identity and gender expression being put into our second Human Rights Act in Alberta, the first being our Bill of Rights, which was amended by a prior government. The current government amended the Alberta Human Rights Act to include gender identity and gender expression last fall. So one would think that she is very supportive of issues pertaining to one's gender identity or gender expression being clearly supported in Alberta law, as well as also, you know, any problems arising thereof, that would be able to be interpreted in a manner that would be supportive of trans people rather than exclusionary.
Do you think this is going to have an impact on the culture and the community's understanding of trans folks? Like, is it going to trickle down into your day-to-day life?
I think it happens eventually. I feel that formal steps such as statutory changes, regulatory changes, all of those kinds of things, they open space for change to happen. There's very little that can happen when your life is criminalized, which was queer people before 1969. Mm-hmm. People were criminalized merely for being queer. Now we've moved to where the unique issues of trans people, which come back to things like the documents we're born with or immigrate with, or all of those kinds of things, those are issues that other queer people really don't face. So that trans people do face those issues, and our government is increasingly recognizing that is absolutely excellent. The question I wanted to ask, and I don't think was asked, was whether or not these changes, should they get passed at the Senate, if they would then form a positive obligation to government agencies to, on a positive level, amend their policies and practices, rather than, okay, this is the law, we just discovered you aren't following the law, and the only way we can get you to follow the law is if we then file a complaint about you, because those are very different paths to equality. And I think that's actually a pretty fundamental question that would have been, I believe, answerable by them, but they did not choose to take sufficient questions to ask or answer that.
It certainly presented many barriers with the lack of questions, although they did mention that this bill has no financing attached to it, but they are working with agencies. But the federal government is such a large entity with so many branches and so on. Like you said, unless there's a proactive approach, it might be difficult to get them all on the same page.
Well, one would think that somebody could simply direct Passport Canada, for example, to stop demanding trans people sign PPT 152, which is an exclusionary waiver form, basically, that you waive all rights to any assistance if you're outside of the country and run into any trouble. Certainly, when I was a woman, and now that I am a man, I've never had to sign such a document except that when Passport Canada interpreted that I was somehow not really either or something like that. And it's very disturbing that Passport Canada would take that approach, and it has been consistent. It won't talk to us. It won't respond to our queries. It'll say, oh, we're not really that ministry. It's this other ministry. It's a lot of, oh, not us, pointing fingers over there. It's very strange. So one would like to think that the government itself could actually direct whatever ministry really is in charge of Passport Canada, that minister in turn then direct Passport Canada to immediately cease and desist these kinds of exclusionary practices. And as I said, that's quite different. I don't think that takes any money to say, hey, by the way, all of this stuff stopped today. Rather than where we have right now is that trans people must sign these documents or else they don't get a passport. We live in a very globalized world. Many people have to travel for work or for education or all kinds of reasons. So also, they might just want to go on a holiday, but right now that's actually very difficult for many trans people. So if you have to then actually challenge that practice in a formal complaint context, that's an enormous burden on the individual, and it would be reasonable to expect the government will be expecting this to be a positive obligation on all of its ministries and agencies. And that, to me, again, should be a simple question they can answer today.
Well, I think you've certainly pointed out that we are just at the beginning, yet again at the beginning, of a very long step. This is the seventh iteration of a trans rights bill here in Canada. Now, like you mentioned, this is just the start, and we need to maintain the pressure on the government to make sure that...
second of this time, though I'd like to make it right. It's just not the place for time. As we walked right to the light, I turned to you to say goodbye.
Yeah, I didn't introduce that song. That is Tell Me, it's from the album Tell Me a Story. And that has, that was the song Make It Right by Skylar Kugel, who is a YouTube, openly trans YouTube star, the visuals are truly remarkable, and definitely worth watching. Shot to fame. He's also unbelievably adorable, so, I mean, that's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually have on the line right now Amanda Ryan. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not too bad. That was the best transition for a telephone line I've ever done. So. Just going to take a minute to soak that in. Now, we've spent the first half hour here talking about Bill C-16, the... Mm-hmm. Bill to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act, an act to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code. Now, you must have had one of the busiest days ever yesterday. How was yesterday for you?
Oh, it was just nuts. I think on Tuesday we were just all over the place. I had interviews coming out my wazoo, and it was really, really good, though. The media interest that we got was exceptional.
Absolutely. Now, you do work with both the Trans Equality Group of Canada and Gender Mosaic. Do you want to mm-hmm. speak briefly to your role with them?
For Gender Mosaic, I'm the Outreach Committee Chair. And for the Trans Equality Coalition, I'm the representative for Gender Mosaic on that group.
Absolutely. Now, you know, Bill C-16, and we've talked about some of the fantastic elements of it, the fact that it'll have, it'll put gender identity and gender expression into the criminal code, and it'll add gender identity, gender expression into the grounds in the Canadian Human Rights Act. But we have some concerns. I mean, this is the third time there's been a bill on the floor. You know, trans rights have been on the table since 1996, with the bill that put the homosexual or sexual orientation into the act.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hopeful? Glass half empty here? Like, what's your? Do you think it's going to go without a hitch, or do you think there's going to be barriers?
Oh, I'm far more optimistic about this one than I have been about any other one before. The atmosphere with the Liberal Party is extremely positive, and of course we have the NDP on board as well. We had a meeting with Justice Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould about a week before she made the announcement in Parliament, and the mood in that meeting was electric, very positive. They are really on board to get this bill through this time, and when it was introduced, you saw the reaction around Parliament Hill. It was just a frenzy of positivity, of real possibilities of this bill being put through. So I would expect it'll get through the House pretty quickly, and then we'll see what happens in the Senate.
Now, it would be 20 years to the day almost that the sexual orientation was added. Is that mm-hmm. 20 years too late or 20 years, how do you feel about the fact that it's taken this long to get trans rights on the agenda?
Well, that's society trying to figure out who we are, I suppose, and with all the media attention that we've gained over a long period of time now, over a few years, we're starting to hit the public radar and they're starting to understand. So we're not standing alone. We now have a lot of public in behind us to get us there. Should this have been done 20 years ago? Yeah. Should have been done 50 years ago. But here it is now, and it looks like it's going to happen, so that's a good thing.
Now,
that's a very good attitude.
Yeah, I like it. Senator Platt was being a bit of a barrier. I'm going to say a bit of a barrier. I have other adjectives that I would like to use.
No, that's the nice word. Just stick with that one. Bit of a barrier.
Are you expecting a similar opposition? Because, of course, in the Senate, the Liberals don't follow the party line. And I was at the press conference, and the minister seemed to dodge the question of whether or not the House would be a whipped vote. I mean, are you predicting that there may be some stumbling blocks along the way with the Senate and maybe with the House not coming to line?
I suspect that the Liberal government will likely be on side for the most part. They certainly were in the last Parliament, where most of the Liberal MPs were voting in favor. I was really baffled by the question about whether it would be a whip vote or not. I don't think that there's really an issue. I think that there's enough support in the Liberal Party and the NDP to get it through without very much difficulty at all. And even Rona Ambrose has now said that she will personally support the bill. So there's already support within the Conservative Party. That's the House. Now, when we get to the Senate, I think we're going to have some people that are a little more against it. Certainly, Senator Platt has already stated that his opinion has not changed. But he didn't indicate that he would be opposing it quite the extent that he did before. And he certainly won't have the backing of the Prime Minister. I think that the times have changed enough, even from the last Parliament to now, that he'd be kind of silly to oppose it with any adamant nature. I don't think he'll get the same kind of support from even his other conservative senators. I think there's enough support at the Senate. We know that there's enough support in the Senate to pass the bill. There was last time, and we know that through our lobbying, and that'll just increase this time around.
Absolutely. No, I think, I'm excited. I mean, it's our job to be pretty cautious, of course, but I think it'll be pretty good. Now, you have done an incredible amount of education on the issue with folks. Now, this is pretty much our last question, because we know you've got places to be. But I mean, what would you like to say to the good people of Canada? What would you like to say to them to encourage them to support their MPs to get behind this bill?
Well, I think that we're going to simply get the education out there to them. If they're going to be talking to their MPs, let them know that they're in favor of passing this legislation. Call their local senator and tell them the same thing. But I think a lot of the work that's going to happen next, and already the government was talking about not just passing the bill, but how to implement it and what the follow-through would be. So they're thinking way ahead, and a lot of that is education, and I think that's a great point, that we will be educating more and more, and especially if we can point to an act that says gender identity and gender expression, which means the transgender community, that gives us an awful lot of more power, I suppose, to get our points across and tell people who we are. We're people. That's all they need to know.
Absolutely. Now, we have some other interviews. Thank you so much, Amanda, for joining us on the line, and congratulations on being a part of a truly historic moment.
I think it was the first step in a very historic moment, too, which is why most of us had to be there.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Right now, we have a song by Shawnee. This is Mirror Me. We'll be back just after this.
Tell me
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. Now, we're talking today about Bill C-16, the act to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code.
Something we actually haven't discussed so far.
Yeah.
What exactly does this mean, and what exactly does this change?
Okay, I could answer that, I think. So, the Criminal Code.
Because
right
I think
now,
this is something that a lot of people listening are probably thinking, like, oh, that's nice, okay. But, you know, in the back of their mind, they're like, oh, what? It's probably good. Yeah.
I should probably say it's wonderful in case I'm a bigot. Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It's just like, this is complicated stuff.
Yeah.
So what does this actually mean?
So we'll start with the Canadian Human Rights Act. And it applies to federal things. So everything and anything that's federal. So if you run a trucking company that goes across a border, a provincial border, you're regulated at the federal level. Now, up until now, if you were a trans person working for this trucking company, and they were like, and they found out they could fire you, and there's nothing you can do about it because you're a trucking company, and that's not protected at the federal level. Now it's been read in, but people don't know that, and you would have to know that it's been read in to be like, hey, guy, you can't do this. This is against my human rights. But it has to do with knowledge. People don't know that they have that right.
I mean, you could probably get around that loophole by just going at the labor board and unjust firing.
Labor, but it's employment at the provincial level. That's what we're talking about, a trucking company, because you're employed at the federal level.
So
if you're employed through the armed services, if you run like canals are regulated at the federal level. Radio is regulated at the federal level.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we could be discriminated. There could be discrimination based on the trans identity within the radio sector, and there's very little you can do about it. Like, if I told you, because you're trans, you can't have a show.
I think Mike and David are okay, though.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're probably listening, and their ears are probably pricking up now that we're saying their names. They're the station producers, managers?
Manager and program director here.
Yeah, there you go. Nice guys, yeah. We function because they're good at their jobs, because sometimes we're not good at our jobs, and they save us.
We say sometimes. It's a bit more than that. Anyway, but point being that it means now that there's these protections. But that's the big picture side of it.
Okay.
What does it mean for Joe Blow on the street? What it means now,
like,
is,
in the day-to-day.
Yeah. So the Human Rights Commission of Canada, the Canadian Human Rights Commission, is going to put out a massive document being like, this is all of the ways for you to not discriminate against trans people.
Okay.
And then that's going to go to all of the HR offices and all the businesses across the country. And,
right, yeah.
You know, and then those little HR offices will write little HR policies. And, you know, it doesn't, it's very, it's it has less to do with people taking tribunal cases at the federal level and more to do with that ethic and that ethos trickling down into the HR policies of businesses across the country.
Well, it would probably also affect things like doctor's offices and life insurance and...
Life insurance is a federally operated system, I believe.
Okay.
Banks are federally operated. Yeah, there's a few different things that are federal. So, yeah, this would have a direct impact on those. It also means...
It would also force the provinces to permit you to change your registered gender on your, like, driver's license and things like that.
Absolutely. And it makes it easier for you to change your passport, for example, because you can't be discriminated against based on gender identity and expression. Mm-hmm. Or you won't be if this passes or when this passes.
Right.
So that's what the Human Rights Act does. So the criminal code. Now, there are... three provisions, and it's in this printed out presentation that I have here on my persons.
With this weird ambiguous green beige color.
Yeah, it's really
I don't know why they chose that.
So there are two types of hate crimes legislation. One
is my gauges show just now, like, the number one thing I critiqued was the color scheme of this
it is awful.
PowerPoint.
It is awful. we should go and consult with the Ministry of Justice and be like, let us help you, Prezi.
Anyway,
so there's the hate propaganda offences, like advocating genocide. Believe it or not, advocating genocide is a crime. Don't do it, people.
Okay, yeah. Mm.
And then incited hatred by communicating some statements in a public space where such incitement would lead to a breach of the peace.
Okay.
So being like...
Everyone, beat up that person.
Because of X reason that's enumerated.
Okay.
That's
so lynch mobs are illegal in Canada.
Yeah, weird. Awesome, yeah, weird, cool. Yeah. And then willfully promoting hatred... from all protected groups. So right now it's religion, race, color, national or ethnic origin, age, sex, sexual orientation, or mental and physical disability.
Okay.
So that's what currently is there. So that's, so if you're willfully promoting hatred against a trans person,
yeah,
whatever, it's not protected because it's not on that bill. So it's not a crime,
okay,
to willfully promote hatred against a trans person.
Okay.
Although it has been read in, but you'd have to know about it. The police would have to know.
So currently,
about
if you had like a... YouTube, I don't know if that even falls into the Canada Criminal Code.
It could be. It would be promoting...
Okay, yeah. So yeah. If you self-identify as being from Medicine Hat, and just to choose a city at random that is Canadian, and you have a YouTube channel, and you're like, yeah, there's trans people down the street, we shall get together and beat them up. That would be illegal.
Well,
I mean, not now, but...
It would be, it might be inciting violence, it might be cyberbullying, but it would be unlikely to be charged as a hate crime under this because it's not explicitly in there.
But now it could be if this passes. Okay.
Now, most people think that a hate crime is a thing, but in most cases, it's a sentencing factor. So let's say I murder someone because, I don't know, they're a lady and sex is a protected ground.
Okay.
So I murder a person because... Just because they're a lady, I would be charged with murder. And then, when the judge is sentencing me, they're like, you murdered them because they're a lady, which, is promoting hatred against all ladies. Therefore, you're getting an extra 5 years on your sentence.
Right.
So it's a way of...
It's like a factor.
Yeah.
You can't go to prison for just a hate crime. You have to go to prison for a hate crime and at least one of the things.
You have to go to prison for a crime.
Yeah.
Or you have to be convicted of a crime. It could be almost any crime. It could be mischief. Actually, that's a good example. Mischief, the... trans rights mural on Bank and Somerset, that would have been mischief to property.
Okay.
But that's not So what would have been if let's say someone was caught for that, they would have been charged with mischief to property for defacing the mural.
Mm-hmm.
And then at sentencing, they could have also been charged under the hate crime sentencing if they were charged with mischief. So you have to be charged with the crime, and then you'll get an extra slap on the wrist for being quite so hateful.
Right.
So, but right now, because gender identity, gender expression isn't there, that means the police aren't really looking into it, as we noted here in Ottawa, sadly, around the trans mural.
Mm-hmm.
They're not putting as much attention into it. It also means that the attorney generals in the provinces across the country aren't focusing that much on that because it's not an enumerated ground. And it also means that the police aren't recording that data. Like, how do we know how many people are killed for being trans?
Right.
If we're not writing down that that's why they were killed?
Right.
So this, and the minister made a big point of being like, you know, this is a great way of us collecting
data.
Or
even if they're not killed for being trans, they're just killed for being jerks, because there's also jerks who are trans identified.
Yeah,
they exist as well. So you're murdered for being a jerk, but you don't necessarily openly identify, or it doesn't really come out for some reason or another, and so it just wouldn't be recorded at all one way or the other, because you have no protections, you have no reason to identify, or if somebody like robs you,
mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't a hate crime, you just had nice stuff, now you have the grounds and the protections that you could identify and say, oh, by the way, you know, I am trans identified.
I mean, it would then, the courts would have to be able to prove that it was hate motivated,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. So yeah, I mean, if you just, we're digressing a little bit here.
No, but the you're saying it's useful data.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, it came up recently with what was it? The Trans Day of Remembrance,
mm-hmm.
and they're remembering all of the trans folks who were murdered because of who they are, and it's an extensive list, but the entire list was American. And someone was saying, well, why aren't there Canadian names? Surely Canadian trans folks have been beaten up or have been left to the street to die and so on and so forth. Because Canada is not quite the sunny haven that we like to think it is.
Mm.
And the problem is that we don't record that data. We don't keep track of it. But now if this is added to the criminal code, we will.
Right.
So we can spot trends. We can identify patterns. We can identify where we need to do more education, more, you know, proactive work and so on and so forth. So, yeah, mm-hmm. this is a huge step. And it's important. Someone asked, well, why do we need it if it's just being read in? Well, sexual orientation was read in.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still needed that to have the information on gay bashings.
Right.
So it is very important that we have this.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a good answer.
And we have just about enough time for an interview I did with a professor out of Amsterdam on media activism. And this looks at how people can be more involved than just liking or tweeting. So we'll listen to this, and then I think that might be it for today. So, hello, and I'm here with Stefania, and we're at the Media Activism Research Conference. It's coming up, where we're recording this. This is a couple of days before the legislature is introduced at the House of Commons by the Liberal Party. You're based out of the University of Amsterdam. However, the conversation a bit earlier today was talking around the topic of social media and social media engagement, and how protests can kind of... You were talking about the difference between the visibility of a social media process and then the group identity of that same process. Can you speak quickly to what those two mean?
Yeah, so let's do it through an opposition. So if we take visibility to indicate our presence on social media, which is something we continuously update by means of tweets, links, posts of various nature, pictures, videos, whatever, hashtags and what's not, it's just something that we update, but it's also something that has a very short lifespan, right? Might be there, visible for a few minutes, for a few hours, might reverberate if someone else picks it up. And retweets and shares and passes it on, but it is something that has a short lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the contrary, when you talk about collective identity or group identity, you indicate some features, which are usually something like, you know, ideology, cultural backgrounds, preferences, values, but also emotions that we attach to protest, that tend to be shared and be relatively stable over over time. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you have visibility, which is fun, and it's immediate. It's something that galvanizes also our self-esteem, that gives visibility as well to the protest, for example. But that has a limited value, let's say, in the mm-hmm. sense that it cannot be enjoyed for a very long time by people. Usually it disappears pretty quickly in the amount of other content that people create.
We heard the analogy earlier today of cappuccino froth. It's tasty, it looks nice, but it's all fluff and no substance. Now, in terms of the context of this legislation, we had the Plett Put Me Here protest against Senator Plett, who made some rather ridiculous remarks about trans people, and that blew up on Instagram, and then I Just Need to Pee hashtag went very popular. But, you know, how is... I think you're right. We've not seen that really translate into letters to the MPs, pressure on politicians to enact this bill. So you've talked a bit about the concept of cloud protesting. Can you describe that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, cloud protesting is, if you want, in short, protest at the time of social media, where cloud indicates our ability that is enacted by, brought to us by social media, to share resources. Now, what are resources? Well, they're usually immaterial resources like values, frames, hashtags as well, and common understandings of reality, which is then, you know, a common understanding would be like, this is a situation of injustice. Injustice has to go. We need to act together for change.
You know every